Turn with me to John chapter 12. And as I said, my voice is growing hoarse, and it may get better, it may get worse. I'm going to abbreviate my comments this morning, so if it only takes an hour, you know it's abbreviated. As I study these passages, I have lots of time to look over them and pore over them and pray over them. I try to step back in time and experience what these characters experienced with the Lord Jesus. And so as we pray that song before the message, I pray it very sincerely each time. Lord, open my eyes that I might see Jesus in a new way. We're looking at John chapter 12. Jesus has just raised Lazarus from the dead, and now John addresses us to a new occasion. It's a little bit later in time, but he says it's 6 days before the Passover. And he describes an event that took place at Lazarus' home. John chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, who had been raised from the dead. There they made a supper for him, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil, a spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have always with you, but me you do not always have with you." Now a great many of the Jews that knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, that they might see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in the Lord Jesus. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we take these moments to ask that you would take the words of our mouth and meditation of our heart and make it acceptable to you, that in all things Jesus Christ might be lifted up. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are two parts of this message. I'm going to save the first part for the sermon that comes right before Thanksgiving. We have 2 weeks of missions conference in between there, but I want us to focus on this and get the gist of what's happening. The first part is about the home, and I want to establish some facts about a Christian home, and that we'll deal with just before Thanksgiving on November 18th. But this morning I want us to look at the heart of some of the individuals that are in this home, the heart of the people that are in the home. We look at our passage and we find that right after the resurrection of Lazarus, they give a supper. And the supper is not for Lazarus, it's a supper given for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a supper that is given, and Lazarus is there, and he's leaning or reclining at the supper as the custom was, and he was dedicating himself to the Lord. He was worshiping the Lord. We're also told that Martha and Mary were there. And so we want to look at these three hearts and see how these hearts were transformed by their encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me begin by asking you a question. What have you ever given that cost you dearly? Have you ever given a gift that really cost you something, not because you went out and purchased something on a credit card, and not because you went out and bought a fancy gift for your wife or for your husband or for your child on Christmas, but what have you ever given to someone that really cost you something, that really cost you blood, sweat, and tears? David of the Old Testament said, "I will not offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing." You see, God is looking at our hearts. And one of the measurements that he uses of the heart is to measure the expanse of the giving of that heart. What are you giving of yourself to the Lord? Jim Elliot was a missionary many years ago, and he was killed by the Aka Indians in Ecuador. He and others gave their lives as sacrifices to the Lord They went willingly as God's servants, and before they left, they gave a covenant with God that their lives were on the altar totally 100%. Jim Elliot gave the testimony that it didn't matter what happened to him. No matter what would come his way, his commitment was to Christ. And he asked this question before he ever knew that he was going to die as a martyr. He said, made this statement, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Listen again. Jim Elliot. "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." A few weeks ago, we were terrorized by the attack on September 11th, and we've heard it so many times. But I wonder if you've heard the message of a heart of a man that died in that attack. His name is Todd Beamer. You may have heard the name before, but perhaps you didn't put all the pieces together. Todd Beamer is a member of the Princeton Christian and Missionary Alliance Church in Princeton, New Jersey. Todd Beamer was on Flight 93 as it went from Newark and was detoured by the terrorists and brought back to Pennsylvania, and then somewhere over Pittsburgh, the men and women on that plane took over the plane and it came down. I want to refer to his life and his testimony because Todd Beamer knew that there was something more valuable than just living your life for yourself. Todd Beamer knew there was something precious about life, and yet he gave himself that others might live. As the terrorists took over that plane, there was a discussion in the back of the plane. A number of people began to make telephone calls. Todd Beamer made a toll call on the phone that was on the plane. As he talked to the representative in GTE, he was online with her for some 15 minutes. And as he spoke to her, he made this emphatic statement. He said, "I know I'm going to die." And just before he hung up, or just before he let go of the phone, he said to that representative on the phone, "Will you pray with me the Lord's Prayer?" And they said the Lord's Prayer, and they said the 23rd Psalm together. And she could overhear the conversation as he didn't hang up, but continued in that vein of prayer. And he looked at the men around him, and he said, "Are you guys ready?" The last words that we ever heard from Todd Beamer were these: "Let's roll." You see, Todd Beamer was a man who had committed his life to Jesus Christ and knew there was something worth living for, and there's something worth dying for. As we see the story today of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, there are three people that knew that there was something worth living for, but there was something even greater worth dying for. There was something worth the sacrifice of someone's life. We see, first of all, Lazarus. And as we dealt with that last week, if you missed it, pick it up on tape. But Lazarus was resurrected from the dead in a powerful way. Never had anyone seen someone raised from the dead after being dead 4 days. Lazarus came back to life. Can you imagine the life-changing experience that must have been? To be there in the grave, and as Martha said to Jesus, "Jesus, he already stinks." Lazarus perhaps was already rotting in the grave, but Jesus brought him back to life. And you can imagine for a moment the celebration of everyone around, but think of Lazarus. He who was dead is now alive, and Jesus gives him a reprieve on life, and he is to go through and live his life. In fact, historians tell us he lived another 30 or 40 years beyond this before he finally expired and gave up his life. And in the years that followed, he gave himself totally to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lazarus was a rich businessman. He had wealth. He perhaps even had fame. He was well known in Bethany, which was only 2 miles from Jerusalem. He had all that most people aspire to, but he gave it up for the cause of Christ. It was shortly after the resurrection of Christ and the stoning of Stephen that Lazarus fled to the island of Cyprus. And there he preached the gospel from his home and established a church. And then the Jews caught up to him, and they were going to kill him, but they didn't want to kill him because this guy comes back from the dead. And so they didn't kill him. They put him in a boat with his sisters, and they shoved him out into the sea. Probably towed him out somewhere without sail, without oars. They let them loose. And the history tells that they floated, and they floated for days. And finally, God allowed them to land in France, where they established another home from which they preached the gospel. And France was reached in part with the gospel of Christ. Lazarus gave his life, having come back from the dead, and reevaluate all that he ever did. He said, I have one thing to live for. That is my Savior, Jesus Christ. Then we see Martha. We know Martha from the past. Martha, at another supper, was busy working the dishpans, you know, and working in the kitchen and slaving away while her sister Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus just listening to him teach. And remember the story that Martha rushed in and scolded Jesus, and perhaps in her fury she threw her apron down and said, it's not fair that I have to do all this work and Mary gets to sit here and just listen. Jesus challenged her, said, Martha, Mary has chosen the best part. Read between the lines. Jesus said, Martha, you could choose to do the best part too. It wasn't until after the resurrection of Lazarus that Martha finally chose the best part. In this passage, read it carefully. You'll see that there was a banquet thrown and Lazarus was there. And who was serving? Martha. Didn't say anybody else was serving, but this time there were no complaints. This time there was no hustle and bustle and fervency and nervous wreck woman that she was. This time she was patiently serving the Lord and serving other people because God had enlarged her heart through the resurrection of her brother from the dead. She had met Jesus in a new way. She had encountered Jesus as she never knew him before. And he changed her life. Historians tell us that that's not the end of Martha. Martha, of course, went with her brother on that boat and ended up in France, but Martha opened a convent. She never got married. She opened a convent and served the Lord faithfully until the day of her death because she found it was a joy to invest her life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, we see Mary. Mary, that special individual that had already chosen to sit at Jesus' feet. But this time, after Lazarus came from the dead, she was at this feast and she had decided to do something different. She went to a room and she pulled out an alabaster box, a precious box that many people kept. And that was an inheritance. That was a way of saving money. It's like investing in gold or some other valuable product that increases in value as time goes on. She could have saved it for her own retirement, for her living later on in life, but she reserved it for Jesus. And she took that alabaster box full of expensive perfume. Commentators say that was valued at a whole year's wages. All right, think for a moment. How much do you make in a year? Don't tell me. Are you willing to give all of that to Jesus Christ? Jesus isn't asking you to give it all. But he's asking you a question. Are you willing to give of yourself to the Lord Jesus? Now, what we don't know and what we don't understand about Mary is that many people get confused because the name Mary is so familiar. We've got Mary Magdalene, we've got Mary, mother of Cleopas, we've got Mary, the mother of Jesus, we've got Mary, 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 everywhere in the New Testament. This Mary, there's another story that's told also about a woman who anointed Jesus' head and his feet. And she was a prostitute. And that's found in Luke chapter 7. And this woman was a sinful woman, came to the house of a Pharisee, and did the same thing. But in doing so, she came in as a sinner and laid her life before the Lord Jesus, anointed his feet with the oil, and wiped it with her hairs and with her tears, and repented of her sin. Now, many people get the two stories confused and say, well, that was Mary, sister of Lazarus. It wasn't. That was another Mary. And in fact, it's not even given her name in that passage. But it's not the same story. You see, the Luke story took place early in Jesus' ministry when a sinful woman came to Jesus and was redeemed. And it was in such awe of the forgiveness of God that she broke before the Lord and gave him all that she had. I like to think that Mary remembered that story. She knew of that event. And now at the end of Jesus' life, this is approaching the last week of Jesus' life. In fact, it is the last week of his life. And as she approaches him, she's thinking of that woman that was so sinful, and she is taking on her garment as though she were a woman like that. And she comes to Jesus in the same way, breaks the alabaster box in front of everybody, and does beyond what the sinful woman does. She took the box and poured it on Jesus' head. Now you can imagine Jesus. He's sitting there all preppy looking, leaning on his sofa pillow, and this woman comes up behind him. He maybe didn't even see her. Comes up behind, breaks open the seal on that alabaster box and pours it on Jesus. Did you ever break a bottle of perfume? I used to have a bottle of, this is going to date me, used to have a bottle of Jade East. You're old too. No. How many know what Jade East is? Okay, Jade East you can smell for miles. And I love Jade East because the girls love Jade East. And I'd take that stuff and pat a few on, and just before leaving, pat some more on. But we had a ministry down into Brooklyn, New York, and one day we took an alcoholic back with us to the college. And we were going to recuperate this man, and he did give his heart to the Lord. But in the middle of the night, we smelled this fragrant perfume of Jade East all through the room. We couldn't figure out what in the world happened. And I got up in the morning, and I looked, and the man had drunk all night Jade East. But I tell you that because it filled the room with this smell. It was so sweet and so wonderful, it was disgusting. Now, Mary took this beautiful and wonderful ointment that was precious and she dumped it on Jesus. Now, Judas is over there looking at her with glaring eyes and he's saying, "What a waste! You idiot! That's money! Money down the drain! Wasted on Jesus!" And Jesus said, "Don't scold her. She did this for me. She saved it for my death, and because I'm not dead yet and she wanted to witness to my value, she gave it to me now in this present life." What a precious gift she gave to Jesus. That she wiped it, his feet, anointed his feet with her hair. And she probably was saying something similar to the woman who was adulterous. She was saying, "Oh Jesus, you have saved me. I know my heart. And though I haven't done what the woman did, my heart is filthy like that. And I need your great salvation." Mary discovered what it was to give to Jesus her very best. This morning, as we stand back and look through the eye of time and see that event 2,000 years distance from us, Jesus is still looking for men and women and young people and boys and girls that will give the very best of their lives to Jesus. A few years ago, I led a man to Christ who was 86 years old. He was raised in a Christian home. He married a Christian woman. And for years, they prayed for him. Just before I went to the hospital, his wife said, "Oh, Pastor, would you ask my husband once again whether he would receive Christ as his Savior?" And I went to that hospital, and he was on his deathbed. I knew it, and he knew it. And I said, "Norm, you know this. And you know the gospel probably as much as I do. And you've used your life, 86 years, for yourself. But Jesus is still inviting you to ask him to come in and be your Savior." And with tears in his eyes, he said, "Pastor, I've wasted my life. I've wasted those years." I said, "But Norman, he's still inviting you. He still loves you. He still wants you." And he said, "And I want him." And that 86-year-old man on his deathbed opened his heart to him and said, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my heart and be my Savior. And I'm sorry for the wasted years." Do you see the difference? Judas looked at that beautiful young lady wasting her substance on Jesus. And he said, "What a waste." Jesus looks at an old man who wasted all of his years. And Jesus says, "What a waste." And the question that comes to all of us today is, what have you wasted for Jesus? We waste a lot of things on ourselves. We go into debt, we spend money, we enrich ourselves, we use up our lives, but we use it for our own pleasures, we use it for our own desires. And Jesus says, "What have you ever given to me that cost you something?" If you were seated with Todd Beamer on Flight 93 Would you have been willing to say, Lord, there's something worth living for and something worth dying for? Mary said, Lord Jesus, here's my heart. It is broken before you. And the heart that is broken becomes the heart that is spilled out and given to Jesus in total sacrifice. Right now, the Lord Jesus wants to know, what are you going to give to him? No, we're not asking for your money. This isn't about the church. It's not about missions pledging. It's not about tithing. It doesn't have anything to do with this building or this pastor or this denomination. It has to do with you and your life and however many years God gives you upon this earth. And he said, what are you going to waste? And what are you going to waste for me? What are you going to invest in the kingdom of God? How are you going to live for Jesus? How are you going to use up what God gives to you? Mary chose the very best. She took the best that she had and all that she had, and she laid it at his feet. And Jesus said, this is acceptable to God. As we close this morning, we're going to play a song, Broken and Spilled Out. And I'm going to ask you while that song is being played that you would consider, what have you wasted for Jesus and what are you willing to give to him of your life? We're not talking about money here. We're talking about your life. And what you hold precious to you in this human alabaster box, what are you holding for yourself and what can you give to Jesus? And I'm going to challenge you to take one of the cards in the front pew, in the pew in front of you, and just write down in there, what will you give to Jesus? Will you give your life? Will you give yourself permission? Will you go on a short-term trip for him? Will you give a portion of your income to support missionaries or give to lost children around the world? I don't know what God's going to put in your heart. But right now, I believe God is putting something in your heart. And he's asking you, what are you going to live your life for? And what are you going to waste your life for? Everybody uses their life for something. What are you going to use your life? Broken and spilled out, wasted for Jesus. And as this song is played, I invite you, as you write that card down, as God leads you, just come and lay it at the altar. If you'd like to kneel, that's fine, but just leave it there and go back to your seat. But do like Mary, bring the very best of you and lay it at the feet of Jesus, because he's done so much for you and for me. Let's worship the Lord.